Hey, on today's episode, we will be discussing the protests going on in Minneapolis, Atlanta, Mississippi. Seems like every major city is currently burning to the ground, and we're going to give you our thoughts on it as only we can. Sam, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Hey, let's do it.
That's that crack music, nigga. That real black music, nigga. Ronald Reagan cooked up an answer.
All right, Sam, man, it's been a lot of noise, a lot of system, a lot of revolution, in my opinion, after the video of George Floyd surfaces of a police officer and his colleagues kneeling on the back of his neck as he basically until he dies. Currently, George Floyd has been arrested, but
not George Floyd,
it doesn't look like
police officer.
I mean, I'm sorry, the police officer has been arrested, but it doesn't look like the other three have been, who all stood and watched. And a lot of people are angry, man. We got a lot of thoughts. I definitely have some, but Sam, man, what are your thoughts just on, I guess, the protest in general and how they've gone?
I think the one thing that I always come back to. Because I work in Camden County, right? And mm-hmm. It was a police officer last year that shot this guy. The guy was running away from the police officer. And the police officer shot the guy, right? And they all came out. They protested. They all stood in front of the commission and all this, the city hall and Camden County, Little St. Mary's. You know what I'm saying? And what happened during this situation was, the police officer knew the guy. You know what I'm saying? So he had been somewhat harassing the guy. And I just kind of like felt like these cops know these guys. They know these people they're harassing. And they're not isolated. And I don't know, man. It's just sad, man. It's just sad.
It really is, man. I remember the Camden shooting, but I mean, we've seen this. We've seen the same story play out so many times.
I'm sorry. I want to make this point too. We just recently had the Brunswick guy get shot. Remember the guy in Brunswick? He wasn't jogging. He might have been jogging or whatever, where the guys basically pulled him down and shot him or whatever. And we watch a lot of these live videos of these, black guys getting shot and gunned down, And I always be thinking like it's not a black or white issue. It's just a humanity issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just human decency. Like, and I think that's what's missing in this dialogue, because it's not about political parties. It is not about white and black. It's about treating a human being with a certain amount of decency, It's scary. It's very scary, because when you black, you learn how to, you're taught how to be around white people. You're taught that. Like, that's, and that's crazy, because I don't think white people are being taught how to be around black people. And I don't think
that's correct.
Other cultures are being taught how to be around other cultures. But we are taught that. And that's ingrained in us. And
I'm going to take it a step further. We taught to be around police. We are taught how to behave when the police shows up and what happens when we're stopped by the police. I mean, I just put on the timeline from, and they showed 29 years ago of Jazz when he's in the courtroom.
Right.
He had both his arms up when they told him to raise them, and he said, "Nah, I'm not going to put my hands down because he got a gun." Next thing you know, I got 6 warning shots in my back.
Right.
29 years ago, Jazz was saying this on the stand about 6 warning shots
right
in his back. And now we look and fast forward of all the different situations where I'm watching armed white guys at the Capitol yelling in police officers' face, but for some reason they don't feel threatened. Now I have a situation where a guy is not resisting. I haven't seen the video yet where he was fighting, he was tussling with the police, anything like that. Yet I'm watching this police officer grind on his neck while he's crying out for his mom, for his kids, for like you. I think the problem that makes me, what makes me so mad about it is, man, do you understand the place you got to be when you are crying for your mother who has already passed? When you are crying out for just anybody, somebody, and yet there's three other police officers standing around watching this man take his last breath. It's painful. It hurts. It's ridiculous that we are still here. And that here's the thing that makes me even madder. This ain't going to be the last one. You know what I mean? Like, understand that at some point in the near future, there's going to be another situation. Some police officer is scared. And my thing is, man, if you are scared, you signed up for this job. If you scared, you going in there every time you run into black people, every time you run into people who don't look like you, you fear for your life. So now all your actions are worried about something. Oh, man, man, find a new line of work.
But you know,
because I'm not going to say every cop is bad.
No.
But man, y'all making it real bad. Y'all making the other cops who are good, y'all making them look bad.
But
and the problem, the last thing I have, those other cops who ain't that, it's time for y'all to stand up too for athletes, and we'll get to that. But it's them other cops who feel like that's wrong. It's time for y'all to break that whole blue wall of silence or whatever. Y'all need to start speaking out.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Okay, so police officers, and this is the problem right here, and it's this lack of honesty that goes on with these conversations, because if you got a police officer, like for instance, the guy that shot the guy in Brunswick, right? That guy was a sheriff for 29 years. 29 years, right? If that police officer, if he's patrolling the same area for 29 years, the people in that area don't think cops are good people. Think about that.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, because one thing about this, and I always tell people this, anytime I'm dealing with anybody that's racist or anybody that's anything, you don't just wake up one day and just decide to just say the N-word in a heap of flurry. You know what I'm saying? You don't wake up one day like, oh, today I'm going to shoot an unarmed black person today, right? There are levels that, you know what I'm saying? There are levels to this type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And the police department, I get to this thing where I always say this. I said, police should be paid more money and they should be evaluated harder before you hire people, right? You can't just be hiring people's nephew, cousin, that got a GED from Beaumont High School. You know, Beaumont High School. You know what I'm saying? You can't be doing that. You need to make it a standard. It needs to be a standard. And you know what's even more funny about all of this? The FBI infiltrated police departments and found out that like I was 30% or 40% of was KKK members at one time.
Right.
So it's like, stop with this. It's only a few bad apples. Because a few bad apples, if you put them in the same area, they patrol the same area for the next 30 years, man. How many bad convictions do you have? How many black people that's been beat up on the side of the street and been told to take their, you know, whatever at home after they don't took a beating from a police officer over the last, in that guy's area, the last 29 years? And then the other thing that kills me is, especially when you talk about racism, racism is systemic, right? You don't wake up one day and be racist, right? Like you learn to get to that point. And then what you get ingrained with those emotions, those values, that belief. So you trying to tell me, because I know the lady said she divorced her husband because she's just, you know, she's so distraught because she can't believe he would do such a thing. You think that man was going home, being speaking highly on black people every day when he went home? Or you think he was speaking how he really felt about black people when he went home. You know what I'm saying? Like, correct. I don't think she shocked at all. You know what I'm saying?
No, she didn't. Yeah, she didn't know him at all if she believed that.
Right. And I'm not saying burn everything to the ground, but I will say this, though. There's been peaceful protests in the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years in this country. And you know what happened when people did peaceful protests? You told them to go get a job. Ah, just people that's poor. They need to get a job. Well, because of the virus, 40 million people don't have a job right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, right. I'm going to circle back to a point you just said. I don't know if you remember the movie with Denzel Washington, The Hurricane, right? And that same police officer had been on Denzel from the very beginning. So when you talked about, okay, that police officer been patrolling that same beat for 30 years, that means he's run into that man 25, 50 times or whatever
right.
throughout his 30-year beat. So now he knows him. Now you got a history. Now you got a vendetta. Now, you know what I mean? Like, you know this person.
Right.
So now when you run into him, it ain't the same interaction.
Right.
You got an issue. You already, okay, this is a bad apple. This is, you know what I mean? Or I got an issue with this kid from who he was when he was a kid or whatever.
Right.
So I looked at the when you were saying that, I thought about the hurricane, that same police officer.
Right.
Gonna take me when I'm younger. Take me again. Now we need a black dude who robbed it. It was him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you've now pinned something on an innocent man. And so I looked at that as you said that, the first thing I thought about was the hurricane. You're right. These officers are in these same communities.
They know these people.
They know them.
They know
them. And instead of trying to, again, protect and serve, you not going home taking, you not got a personal vendetta against this person because you know they're bad. I mean, I look at, even stuff like The Wire. You know what I mean? Even when we all watch The Wire. And seeing The Wire, those same cops. I don't remember dude's name. But he was like, what's the point of me busting him every time I see him? I know these people.
Right.
If you talk, I can get information from them later.
Right.
I ain't finna bust them every time I see him. These the same dudes. I know all of them.
Right.
What the world I'm chasing them for? You know what I mean? And so he had decided, basically, I'm going to do a different way of policing besides me taking,
you talking
beating
about,
them up.
You talking about when he
Carver.
When he legalized drugs in that.
No. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about Carver.
Okay.
It was a black dude and a white dude, and both of them was like on the same thing. All they were doing was busting heads.
Yeah.
And then at some point, Carver was like, you know what? I'm going to change it up on him. Ain't no point in busting heads every single time.
Right.
I can get more information if I start talking to these people, start connecting with them, and that way I can get information from them later. You know what I mean? But if all I'm doing is busting heads, that creates a contentious relationship.
Right.
And he was trying to change that. And the white officer was like, man, we ain't going to bust them every time? And it's funny because it's like, I don't think we looked at it at the time of the show. Okay, here's this white officer ready to just bust heads and arrest folks. The black officer's like, man, there's a better way of doing this.
Right.
But you see it today when it's like, white officer, he got his knee on his neck. He just ready to bust heads. He don't care. He came out there. He knew some stuff was going down because, again, like you said, he's known him for however many years, and he know he's probably doing something. He got no business. All right, cool. But now this, I'm going to take it a little further because I'm tired of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like you said, his wife definitely know about it because I guarantee you she know the dude.
Yeah. I mean, you're not.
As a person who has been married, a person who was married, understand, you talk about what happens on your job. There's not a coworker that I know that I don't know at that was at her job that I didn't know. You know what I mean? So
right.
She said such and such who did such and such, she was at it again. Oh, you talking about such? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I guarantee when she saw who it was, I guarantee in her mind she was like, he don't talk to him before.
Right.
He don't mention his name before. I know how you feel about him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, to me, like I said, it's crazy, but policing has changed. Policing has changed a whole lot.
But at
the same time, when you talk about the numbers, the 1,000, you talking about, you know, a few bad apples spoil that whole thing. I saw something on Twitter, and I wish I could find the tweet. But he was like, okay, let's say 1,000 cops are good, 10 are bad. But the 1,000 cops ain't said nothing. That makes 1,010 bad cops.
Right.
Because if you're not standing on the side of right, that makes you just as wrong.
And you know,
so it makes all cops.
And
I was like, ooh.
It's something else I want to say too. All white people are not racist, and
right,
all of them, like, we all have our own prejudice. You know what I'm saying? And I have prejudice that I have to work on. That I have to be like, Sam, just because a guy sounds like he's from Jamaica don't mean he's from Jamaica. He could be from Trinidad. He could be from, like, you know, just because a girl looks a certain kind of way, like, she may not be Puerto Rican. She might be Mexican. She might be, you know what I'm saying? So we all have prejudice. But when somebody called that prejudice out to you, like, because I remember I had this one instance where I was talking to this white dude in Virginia. I was working in Virginia. And he was like, "Yeah, man, you gotta meet my wife. We going to this thing tomorrow, this and that. Man, you wanna show up and come hang out, you know what I'm saying?" So I come, show up, I'm hanging out. I'm talking to this beautiful behind black girl, you know, we just talking about blah, blah, this and that. Well, kind of find out, he walks in, like, "Oh man, you met my wife." You know, he's a white dude. He's with a black girl. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, dang, that's weird. You know, I ain't think nothing of it. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. I ain't know he's dating a black girl, you know. So then we come back to work, and I'm talking to him. I'm like, dang, man, why you ain't tell me your wife was black? And he was like, dang, man, why does that matter? And I was like, damn, you know what? You're right.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that don't matter. Like, that's your wife. That's your wife. So that's stuff that you have to work on. I think what happened with black people and why we get so angry and frustrated is, why are you excusing the prejudice? Why are you excusing the bigotry? Why are you excusing wrongdoing, right? And I think when you look at what happened with that dude, why it's resonating, the way it's resonating is because it's so damn obvious, right? It's so obvious. It's like he's crying for his mama. He's like, I can't breathe. Like, it's so obvious. You can't deny it. You can't deny that image, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
And a lot of people's like, you can't excuse it. So what are they trying to say? Oh, well, it's a better way to protest. What's the best way? Because Colin Kaepernick was warning people about this years ago. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, Black Lives Matter.
Kaepernick wanted to kneel.
He just wanted to sit on one knee.
SOB.
Right. He wanted to sit on one knee because he wanted, you know, so this is so crazy. This is black dude that work at, where I work at. He's a diehard Republican, diehard Fox News watcher, everything. So he told me, because we were talking about shoes, and he said, "Oh, I can't stand Nike." And I said, "Well, who doesn't like Nike?" I wasn't even thinking he was talking about nothing political or racial or anything. I really wasn't thinking about that. So I was like, "You don't like Nike? Like, who don't like Nike? Nike make the best shoes." You know, we just talking. And he's like, "Well, ever since that Colin Kaepernick dude disrespected my flag." And I was like, "Disrespected your flag?" I say, "You felt like he was being disrespectful?" He said, "Yeah, I mean, you don't do that." And I said, "Maybe he wanted the flag to, maybe he wanted America to actually conform and do what they say they're going to do. Like, maybe he want the flag to do what it stands for." He was like, "Well, what's that?"
Right.
I said, "You know, liberty, freedom, justice for all. You know, I don't think that's asking that much." And he was like, right. So, you know, we went into this spiel and we talking, and I'm just like telling him, I'm like, it's okay to not like somebody. It's okay to be indifferent with people's points. But it's not okay to think it's okay for people to be treated inhumane. Like, that's not okay. I don't care how you vote. You know what I'm saying? So if somebody want to stand up and say, "Hey, I don't like the way the police are treating African-Americans in this country," and you got these images of guys getting shot with no guns, just being shot down, gunned down. If you can't look at that and say, "Okay, that's kind of wrong. That is wrong. That's wrong. I don't have to excuse that. That's wrong. I don't even know what you did. I don't even know what you did. You don't have a gun on you.
You don't have a gun. While running away most of the time."
Like, you don't, like, there, like, if you can arrest that dude, Dylan Roof, with no issues and buy him a cheeseburger, I know for a fact you can arrest the black guys, put him in the back of the car, and take what you got to take him, do what you got to do. And I don't know, man. We get into this thing, and it's like a lot of certain white people, I don't know why they feel attacked because you're talking about something that's racist. I've never understood that. Like, they always say, "Well, this is an uncomfortable subject for me." Well, why? You're not racist. Are you racist? You're not racist. Because if not, so what you uncomfortable?
Right, which is why, right? Which is why I appreciate the ones who are willing and in on the conversation. The ones who want to know, who ask questions, who stand with it, even while not understanding.
Right.
But just being like, nah, this here don't look right. Right. Even if I don't know, I don't get it. I ain't never walked a day in your shoes, but this here don't look right. I appreciate, because those are people who are saying, listen, something's wrong. And I don't know the fix. I don't know the answer. And I ain't never experienced it. But this right here clearly ain't right.
Yeah.
And those are folks, like, I appreciate that. I actually found the tweet that I was talking about. And the tweet said, if 10 cops are corrupt, but there are 1,000 cops not reporting to 10, there are 1,010 corrupt cops. And yeah, that's essentially, like, that's what I was saying when I talk about some of these cops got to start standing up, start breaking that blue wall of silence. Because if y'all are standing behind and supporting it for, you know, well, we a brotherhood, this and the third. No, man, right is right, wrong is wrong. Your job was protect and serve, and you are not doing that anymore. So if you are no longer protecting and serving, then you are no longer doing your job. Well, if I don't do my job, I get fired.
Right.
They ain't sending me, they ain't no paid leave. I ain't on administrative, what people thinking about looking at it. That's not what's happening. What's happening is I lose my job. No benefits, no on the street. Figure it out. And so I don't think it's enough people reporting those. When I think they say he had, what, some 39 or something reports against him.
Right.
Yeah, let's talk, you know what I mean, some 39 reports against. At some point, somebody got to sit you down and be like, my man, you got something got to change here.
But it's systemic.
I don't have a job. If I mess up 39.
It's systematic.
If I mess up 50-something times or 30-something times, I don't have a job anymore. But we continue to let people like this slide. I don't know what the reports are, but if I mess again, if I get 39 complaints, 30 complaints, 20 complaints about the work that I'm doing,
right,
there's going to be a conversation about my job performance, and I'm no longer going to be able to perform that job. And that's kind of the problem that I look at. I wanted to, you know, transition though before we get into, because we do want to talk about the fixes and so on and so forth. But I want to transition before we get to that. What is your take on a lot of these celebrities? Desi Banks, T.I. I thought was wild. I saw somebody else with a check mark talking reckless. I mean, it's been a lot of celebrities who I thought were in a different camp.
Okay.
I don't want to say showing their true colors, but it feels like they are much more, they're protecting their money as opposed to really speaking out on the truth. And that is making me feel some type of way. I thought Killer Mike was all the best. If y'all not seen Killer Mike at the Atlanta press conference, that was full of emotion. He made he spoke eloquently. He made a lot of sense. And that's the, like, if y'all want to listen to somebody, a celebrity, talk about what's going on, he, in my opinion, has said it better than just about anybody.
Yeah, I want to talk about.
But what are your thoughts?
I want to talk about what Killer Mike said, because some of that stuff I kind of disagree with Killer Mike about.
Okay, so
celebrities talking out, whatever, man. You know how I feel about celebrities and basketball. I don't worship that type of stuff. I don't care what they have to say.
Correct.
I don't.
I agree.
That's me. I don't. But what I will say, like, people like Lil Wayne, I mean, I don't even know if Lil Wayne got a diploma. I don't know if he have a diploma. Like, I'm not saying that to be funny.
I'm just being honest.
I don't think he's taking the time to read history books. And our history is very watered down also, right?
Right.
Like, our history is very watered down, right? So when you grew up in school, they made it seem like the peaceful sit-in, you know, getting beat down on TV protests is what changed America for black people, which is not true. That's not true. What changed?
Hold on.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna let you finish that point. They watered it down even more now. I forgot what they called it. They changed. They don't even call them slaves anymore in the history books. My son had a history book, and I forgot what they called them. But they weren't even calling. They weren't even referring to them as slaves. They were like employees or something like that. Is what they called them. It was something wild. I was thinking to myself, like, wait, they couldn't have watered down this much.
Yeah.
But they're not even slaves no more.
It's very watered down. So if you notice, they try to pin Malcolm X as this radical black guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's very radical, right? Okay, and Martin Luther King was this very peace loving guy, right? But if you read certain books and look at certain history, Martin Luther King was coming along with the way Malcolm X thought, basically. Like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Why are we trying to integrate ourselves with these people that don't want to do it? And what scared the conscience of America the most was that, see, the I Have a Dream speech didn't really change America. What changed America mm-hmm. was all those people gathering to listen to it. They was like, okay, right. that's a lot of people. That's a lot of power. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's scary because
right.
if they decide to just take the Capitol right now, there's nothing to stop them. There is nothing right. to stop them. And if you listen to a lot of stuff Malcolm X was saying, because Malcolm X was in front of everybody else with this stuff. He was in front of everybody. He was out there, like, saying, stop asking for stuff. Like, get your guns. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Create your own house pillars. Educate your own kids. Start schools in your community. And we'll protect our own. And right. I think what shocked America was when black people started looting and tearing stuff up, because nothing hurts like losing business. You know what I'm saying? Right. You can't grow your business. Yeah. And nothing hurts like that. And I mean, I don't like what I see, because those images are ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, we elected a guy that said he wished we can get back to the good old days. Well, we are now in the good old days. These are the good old days. This is what it looked like.
He also said when the looting starts, the shooting starts.
Right, but I'm saying, but all this stuff sounds like the 60s and the 70s. All this stuff Correct. Sounds like the 60s. So this is 100%. What people want. And the truth of the matter is, you say you want this, the good old days, but, I mean, let's be real, though. I mean, when these people start looting and all this stuff, they tearing your stuff up. You see what I'm saying? Now, you can't take your little family or two to Target to go get some diapers and hang. Correct. You know, you can't go into Chick-fil-A and grab a sandwich and mm-hmm. watch the kids slide down the slide because right. it's burnt down now. You know what I'm saying? You can't go
right.
to the auto mechanic shop to fix on your Jeep for the 115th auto time this month. You can't do it no more. Right. They burnt it down. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
and they left the Waffle House alone. But at the same time,
here's the thing.
Yeah, go
here's
ahead.
The thing though, and I agree with you. Here's the thing though. I don't blame anybody for how they protest. I don't blame anybody for how they decide whether they want to loot, burn down stuff, or whatever, right? Because here's the thing I realized, and here's the thing I saw. When Martin Luther King was peacefully walking, they still reacted with violence.
Right.
The police still sick dogs and water hoses and beat them with batons for peacefully singing and marching from one city to the next. So you tell us what's the best way to do it. Kaepernick thought he had the best way. He ain't got no job no more. Martin Luther King thought he had the best way. They killed him. After sicking dogs and water holes and beating him and punching him in his face.
Right.
So then they say, well, then obviously ain't no other way. We're going to do it the only way we know how. We're going to burn stuff down.
Well, it ain't the way they know how, but it's the way that you understand it. The only way you're going to understand it.
Correct.
Yeah.
You angry, so you're not thinking rationally. So at this point, I don't care what it is. I'm setting fires. I'm burning stuff down because I'm angry. As a people, we angry. And so at this point, they can't think of another way to handle it. Which is why I said, I appreciate Killer Mike saying, no, man, go home, strategize. Mobilize.
Right.
Organize. Because that's the part where he's right. Man, go figure out a better way. But when you're angry, I know what it's like to be angry. I know what it's like to not think straight, so therefore you just reacting off emotion.
Right.
That's what we're seeing right now, are people reacting off emotion. And because you don't have anybody who's standing up, you got your leaders all over the place. You got Killer Mike telling you to chill. You got other folks telling you to go. You got T.I. telling you, hey, none of this, you know, whatever he's talking about. Lil Wayne don't see racism. He ain't never been persecuted. And then he don't come full circle now on some other stuff. Like, again, when you got people all over the place, people don't know who to believe in. People don't know what to believe in. So at this point, they're just reacting off of emotion. They're just reacting off of anger. And that's what you're seeing. Because throughout history, we've seen you can do it this way, it's going to end in violence. You do it another way, it's going to end in violence.
So regardless of which way we decide to go with it, what we've been shown is that they still gonna get violent. And that's the problem. Mm. So solutions. What do you think? Like when we talk about where do we go from here? What are some of the ways we can build as opposed to continuing tearing down? How do we get past it? What are some of the things we want to see?
I think they need to go back and they need to pay police officers more money. I'm just gonna say that. I think police mm-hmm. officers have a hard job. They should be paid more money. All right. Another thing is they need to do what they did last time with the FBI infiltrating the these police departments and everything. And they need to, these people that are involved in the KKK and all these other radical groups need to be fired. They need to be out of a job. Like, if you got a guy with 20 complaints on him and they all black guys, and then you look on his Facebook and he's liking all this racial insensitive stuff, that dude don't need to have a job. Like,
correct.
Don't make an excuse for him. Get him out of his job. And it's like, do that. And also, they need to make a bigger emphasis on hiring minorities at police officers, at police stations. That need to be a bigger push. I mean, that need to be a bigger push. And the minimum requirement for being a police officer, it needs to be a little bit more stringent than just take a class for 30 days and here's a gun and a baton. Like, it needs to be a little tougher than that to become a police officer.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the background checks is important. I think social media checks constantly is something that has to happen. In other words, like you said, if you are absolutely, if your followers and your friends and your likes line up with things that are racist, racial, you following Klan members, you believing in, I'm not saying you ain't got to be Democrat. You can follow Trump or whatever. You can vote for whoever you want to. But if all of your messages are anti-black and all of them are hate, at some point, okay, listen, based on your viewpoint, I don't believe it aligns with this department. There are certain things I cannot say on my social media.
Right.
And my job. Because right. because they do check. And so if at some point in time they decide they're going to check and my views and their views aren't aligned, or I went too far in the left field, you know what happens? I lose my job because I represent that company because I work for that company. In this case, they represent the police officers. But for some reason, like you said, they can have 30 complaints. They can be following. They can be former members of Ku Klux Klan. They can do all sorts of things. But yet nobody, they're still out here to protect and serve.
Right.
So my thing is, at some point, I do agree. I think you need to, every single police department in this country needs to start, hey, we doing go through the federal background. We do one at a time.
Right.
All right, let's look at this one. How many complaints you had? What was the nature of these complaints? What was the, okay, all right, cool. Nope, sir, unfortunately, based on your past record and things that we've seen in your social media account, we believe that you are not fit for this job. Thank you for your services. And you move them on and you usher them on out. And I think as you go through, you will lose a lot of police officers. I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe you will lose a lot of people. I believe you'll lose a lot of police officers. And then you start rebuilding with folks who believe in really making some differences, really in there working with communities. Back to The Wire, there was a lady when he did legalize drugs.
Right.
And he brought Carquette, the dude was running for mayor. He brought him in. And he was like, and the lady, she was telling the story. She was like, there was a police officer that was always on my, that always worked the beat. And him and my mom used to have conversations every single day. She'd talk to us like friends because she wanted to know, you know, he wanted to know what was going on in our community so he could affect change.
Right.
She said, I hadn't seen that until recently where another police officer came up, shook my mama's hand, I shook my hand and started talking to me in conversation. That's what y'all should be doing. And that's right. Like, we talk about certain things in all these communities that are bad communities, bad areas of town, and so on and so forth. And the one thing I realized that you noticed, you don't ever see any police. Like, matter of fact, I bring it local, Jacksonville. The sheriff came down, I think, when he was running for either re-election or election.
Right.
he came down, he went out east.
Yeah.
And one was like, man, this is a publicity stunt. I'll never see y'all when we meet. He was like, now all of a sudden, now y'all want to show up and come to the community, pretend like y'all, you know, y'all here all the time.
Right.
I don't know you. I ain't never seen you or any other police officers for that matter until something go down and now y'all show up.
Right.
Why y'all ain't regularly here? And that's what I mean. It's not the same way it was when you knew who your local officer was, where you knew who somebody, you know what I mean? You had somebody. So therefore, hey, I know I such and such is here protecting me. But not only that, is he protecting me? He's here to make sure that things don't get out of hand. He's there to make sure that stuff don't go, you know what I mean? That stuff don't go left. And now the people who do mean bad are like, officer such and such is right around the corner. Officer Smith right around the corner. Like, we probably should chill. You know what I mean? And that's, it's not, I guess there's no more community policing.
Right.
Well, it's now just reacting. We all sitting in the car around the corner waiting on the call, waiting on some stuff to happen so we can then show up.
Man, it's
different.
It's sad that it's still like this. And I used to not care about this type of stuff as much, but man, when you have a kid and you think about that, like, man, my son gotta, you know, can my son go around in my neighborhood and can he play? Can I trust that he gonna walk back in his house after I let him out the house? Man, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Let me tell you, I have a teenager. My teenager goes up to a field in a predominantly white community that we stay in. He goes up to the field and trains with him and other athletes, just working out. I drop him off, and every time I'm worried. If police shows up, how do you react? What do you do? And we've gone through this.
Right.
Hey, police show up and they stop y'all, ask y'all what y'all doing. This is how you need to handle it. This is how you need to do, and then I need you to get me on the phone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because understand, I don't want another statistic. I don't want a statistic.
You don't want to bear your son.
My son is 14 years old. Correct. My son is 14 years old, but he's also an inch shorter than me and just as big and weighs the same.
Yeah.
So understand that he doesn't look like a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
So I know for a fact that I got to train him in ways to survive in America. And those are conversations that my white brothers and other brothers don't have. They don't have to have that conversation with their kids. They don't. I've seen videos of white people getting out of cars, wielding baseball bats and golf clubs or whatever at police as police run away and so on and so forth. And I'd be like, and I look at him and think to myself, man, if he was black, he was dead a long time ago.
Yeah.
And and those ain't like me thinking that's what would happen. I've seen it. I've seen black people. I watched Philando Castile tell the officer, hey, I got a gun. So, you know, I'm just letting you know, but I'm not, you know, and then reach and then get shot while his daughter's in the back seat and his girl's in the passenger.
Mm.
You see what I mean? So when you see these things, I got to train him.
And I got to train him. I got one story, and I guess we can wrap on this or whatever you want to do after this.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend, and he's married. His wife is white. He's actually the godfather of my son, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talking today, and he said that he was talking to the grandmother, his mother-in-law on his wife's side, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she told him, I'm really worried about her grandson, Caden, right?
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in the world the way it is, right? So the mother-in-law is white, and she's telling him, he's black, telling him this, that she's worried about his son growing up in the world because she know the way the world lives. And she said, I never worried about that with my son because her son's, you know, white. She said, I've never worried about that before with my son. And that says everything. That says everything. Like, and it's, but it is the world we live in, and it is where we at. And until we acknowledge that, like, we're not going to move forward. And this, all this stuff to me is going to push us forward. Because African Americans in this country has always pushed this country forward. So we will push forward. And people going to blame the White House, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, whoever they want to blame. Whatever, man. That's not the issue. This stuff has been going on for 500, 600, 700 years. And I will say this. If you are white and you listen to this show, a couple of things that you can watch to get an idea, or things that you can listen to get an idea, When They See Us by Ava DuVernay is a great show, a four-part miniseries about... the Exonerated Five. The Exonerated Five, they call them now.
Exonerated Five now.
Yeah, and that's something great to watch. The 619 podcast that documents from the time slaves were freed till, you know, to where we are at the current day. Or you can watch the 13th Amendment on Netflix.
The 13th on Netflix, yeah.
I mean, these are things that are documented with real historians talking about things that you're like, man, like, is it that bad? Like, how does every law get weaponized against you? How does everything get weaponized against you like that?
Just to echo what you said, if you really want to know, like, for those who really want answers, who really are interested in knowing why there are people out there rioting, why they're tearing up the streets, why are people so upset? Why do you feel like you've heard this story so many times? Like you said, those are very good ideas of things. Those are very good shows. Those are very good pieces of information to help you just get a glimpse, small glimpse, but a glimpse into some of the things that African Americans deal with on a daily basis. That African American, like, I'm telling you, I, me personally, have been stopped for driving while black several times in my life.
Bro.
I'm talking nothing I was doing. I ain't did nothing. I wasn't speeding. I had all my lights. I'm talking and don't just, okay, whoop. Do you know why I'm stopping you? Not really.
Yeah.
Well, need your license and registration.
Right. And I mean, how scary is
you
that?
You know what I mean?
How scary that every time you get pulled by a police officer, it's scary. It's scary.
It happened to me one night where a police officer pulls me over. Again, not speeding, not doing anything wrong. I'm looking at the officer. I'm asking, I don't understand. You know, he was like, keep your hand on steering wheel, because the other officer, he doesn't know, he can't see from his vantage point. I look over, the other officer got his gun drawn, you know, it's like on the back side. I didn't even know he was here. Like, I didn't know two officers there. He got his gun, like, on the back side. Like, I'm like, dog, and you tell me my tag light was out. But I was stopped past you. The lights were on as I was on the side. Right. You wouldn't have known my tag light was out from where you was at. This is something you've now told me now that you've gotten behind me. This is just a random check because I'm on the west side. You get what I mean? Like, so these are things that I lived.
Yeah.
There's no movie about it. There's no story. Right. But I can tell you these are things I've lived through I've lived through them several times.
It's
things, again, that I have to teach my son.
Yeah.
I have to teach him, hey, as you start driving in a year, understand, this is how you got to, don't you move. Put your wallet, have your wallet on the dashboard or somewhere in plain sight so you ain't got to reach in the hidden area to go get it. You know what I mean? Little things that other races don't have to teach their kids when they're stopped by the police. That I have to teach my son, and that Sam will have to teach his son as he gets older, because we want our kids to be alive.
Right.
And so when we say be informed, when we say go look at these, it's because we want y'all to understand why. When y'all don't understand why the CNN building is being torn apart, or the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, or why the Dairy Queen or the whatever else they do, or the AutoZone or whatever, understand people are mad. Not because of one incident, but because of years of pent-up anger, years of pent-up aggression. And honestly, these young people are different than how we were.
Yeah.
They've seen it, but they're just different. They're a different breed than what we were. And so maybe our group was a little bit more I don't want to say passive, but whatever. They
oh,
not that.
No, we came up in that era of you don't need a gun. What you need? Why you need a gun? Why would you go somewhere that right. you need a gun? You know, we came from that era of
that's correct.
Say no to violence.
Ain't nothing good happens after midnight. Nothing, yeah.
You know, we came from that. You know, if a police talk to you, just say yes or no, sir, mm-hmm. and you know,
yeah, officer friendly.
Yeah, officer. Yeah. That's the era we came from. You know,
correct. They didn't come up in that.
They didn't come up in that. And
no, and so they came up in a completely different era.
Yeah.
All they rappers and everything,
and
like, you know.
And then a mom, your mom and daddy taught you keep your hair low, don't get tattoos, and make it where you won't get profiled.
Right.
You don't want to get profiled. Don't grow your hair. Don't twist your hair. Don't you know? I just. All you can do is pray, man.
This era is different. Yeah, absolutely, man. No, but listen, man. We appreciate you guys for listening. We want to open up a dialogue, so please, if you know, you hear it, you got questions, you want to talk about it, whatever, by all means, let us know. I'm Future Noah Dad 24. That's at more. Sam, hit us up. Let us know your thoughts. Tell us what you're feeling. White people, black people, brown people, Asian, whatever you are, we want the conversation because nothing gets better if nobody talks about it.
Right.
So we wanted to make sure we set aside some time to discuss what is happening around us. Sam, you got anything else?
Nah, man. That's it, man. I just pray things get better. You know, I want a better world for my son than the world I grew up in. So I just pray things get better. But change is hard. Change is hard. It's not done overnight. And you know, brick by brick, sometimes got to be put together. Sometimes brick by brick got to be torn down sometimes.
Absolutely. All right, man. Y'all just heard the Listen Up podcast. We out.
God, how could you let this happen? La, 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 la. Crack me.
Uncle fronted me some peas, had to get in bed.